This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
A look back at the year in HPC. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for December 18th, 2009. Available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and we have with us Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360. Good morning, Addison.
Hey, good morning, Michael.
Well, we're almost done with the year, not to mention the decade. Are you glad to see it all coming to a close?
I'm always surprised when a year comes to a close. I look around and think, wait a minute, where did the year go? Although, in this case with 2009, looking back on it, I'm pretty certain I can see where it went.
Yeah.
It's been an exhausting year. How do you feel?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. It has been an exhausting year. It seems like it's gone on forever, and then all of a sudden it's just ended. But yeah, compared to 2008 and 2007, it was a tough year for a lot of people. We certainly saw that.
It was a tough year for a lot of people, but that's the fun thing about doing a year-end show. For our last show of the year here, we get to maybe take a look back and reflect on, from your perspective, what some of the big news items were. From my perspective, what some of the big trends were in HPC, so we can close the books on 2009 and the decade, and see what's going to happen next year when we come back in 2010.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, I've got a couple stories that I kind of picked out as maybe the most important of the year. You want the good one first or the bad one first?
Give me the bad one first.
The bad one first. Well, the bad one is actually, the one I'd probably pick out was the most important story. And that was, sort of what I alluded to is how tough a year it's been for the HPC vendor community. I picked out 11 companies that had some sort of problem this year that either were the subject of acquisition or just plain out failed this year, or maybe the acquisition's still in progress. Now we've got, there's Sun Microsystems, SGI, Sycortex, Woven Systems, RapidMind, Silk Arts, Interactive Supercomputing, DRC Computer, Quadrix, ClearSpeed, and Ferrari, which we just heard about this week. Now, there's probably others, but those are the ones that I either reported on to some extent or did, longer stories on. And, some of these are acquisitions. In fact, I think the majority of those were bought out, and some of the technology was saved. I mean, we're still looking at, obviously, Sun Microsystems. That one's still in motion. Oracle is still struggling to close that with the European Commission sort of holding things up.
Although that now looks like it might come unglued. The European Commission has softened its stance on it, and Oracle seems pretty confident that finally will get regulatory approval next month.
Right, that just broke this week. So that one looks sort of almost like a done deal. So we're going to see probably right in January that should close.
So, yeah, I was trying to think my way through while we were at Supercomputing, what were the odds that we would see an Oracle booth at this coming Supercomputing show in New Orleans in 2010? And it's kind of a difficult question to get your hands around. So it'll be interesting to see how that all plays out.
Yeah, of course, Oracle's line is they're going to keep, Sun's business intact, more or less. And so I expect we will see an Oracle booth, unless they keep Sun Microsystems as sort of this separate division subsidiary, and then maybe we'll just see a Sun Microsystems booth by itself. But I'm assuming at least over the next year, they're going to keep most of the HPC portion of Sun intact, and so we'll see them at the show in some manner. Unfortunately, those other 10 I mentioned, we're only going to see those inside their other either their acquired companies or not at all. I mean, like obviously Ferrari Systems, which is the one that just broke this week, they've laid off most of their employees. And
tell me about this one, because I had missed this news as it was coming out. I haven't talked to Ferrari in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it basically broke, I think, at the end of last week, sort of under the radar, because they really didn't announce anything till earlier this week, and they basically said they're reorganizing the company, the business, and they're probably looking for additional investors or maybe even a buyer to pull them out. But they've laid off most of the employees, they've admitted. Ferrari, of course, is one of the smaller server makers that basically make blade servers and containerized server systems. Not a big player in the HPC space, but they do have some commercial accounts, so they are important. But right now, it's not good news for them. So we're going to have to see what happens with them in 2010, if they're able to reorganize, get some investment back, and build back up, or if somebody's just going to buy off the assets and the technology. That's still a question mark. I think they're one of those, you know, small server companies that, you know, it's just a tough business to make it, and they're up against tier one vendors. They didn't quite have enough differentiation against, you know, the other x86 server makers to really justify a larger profit margin than these bigger server makers that have very thin margins. So it's a tough business for these small companies, and you know, in a year like this, things like this happen. It's not surprising at all.
Yeah, Verari, if I remember right, they were actually once called Racksaver back when they were launching in the dawn of the Linux cluster revolution. And they strike me as one of these companies that went to glory as they very nimbly became Linux cluster providers faster than the big server vendors did. And you saw Rackable and Verari and Linux Networks and a couple of other second-tier providers spring up very quickly, but they all had different challenges as the IBMs and HPs started switching over their own product. Dell, you know, all started switching over their product lines to offer compelling Linux clusters of their own. And now we're seeing Rackable and Linux Networks got acquired. The assets of Linux Networks got acquired by SGI not too long ago. Now SGI has been acquired by Rackable. Now Verari is laying off its people. So we're kind of seeing some of the end games of what's happened to a lot of those companies.
Right. And Verari's sort of big claim to fame these days or lately has been sort of their emphasis on energy efficiency and density. But that's, in a sense, that's no longer a specialty anymore. Every server company is emphasizing energy efficiency and density now. So there's no strong differentiation there unless they have some magic patent or technology that nobody else can match. But that's not typically not the case anymore. So, so another one sort of runs into that, recession wall, and we'll see what happens on the other side. Now, of course, these other companies like SGI is still here, obviously. Rackable, as you mentioned, bought them, and we're going to see what happens to them in 2010. They've yet to post a profit since they've merged. But, you know, we saw the disappearance of these other companies. Psicortex just disappeared. I think the Pascal technology got spun out at least into a separate company, but otherwise that technology basically just went by the wayside. Most of the other systems, though, Woven, I think, got bought out. RapidMine and Silk Arts got bought up by Intel. Interactive Supercomputing got bought up by Microsoft.
Yep.
Quadrix, of course, you know, they had the proprietary interconnect, and they were in an unfortunate position of running into the InfiniBand and Ethernet when those two technologies were becoming more high performance, and especially InfiniBand, so these proprietary interconnect got squeezed out.
We saw InfiniBand really taking a lot of its share away from the proprietary interconnects. So I think Quadrix had been suffering for a little while.
Right, and of course, ClearSpeed was sort of a victim of the commodity market in accelerators. You know, the cell processor and then GPUs became in vogue over the last couple of years, and you know, ClearSpeed was a customized FP accelerator story, and it just couldn't get that traction. So
actually might be an interesting segue to another story, Michael, because if having sheaves of companies buckle under to economic conditions in 2009 was your negative story of the year, what was your positive story of the year?
Right. So, you know, my positive story of the year is GPU computing, which of course I've talked about and written about extensively. And in general, it's GPU computing, but it's really the effort NVIDIA has put forward this year in propelling this trend forward. Obviously, AMD is in this space as well with their product set, but NVIDIA has been the driver for this. They've been building their own ecosystem around their CUDA architecture over the last couple of years, both hardware and software, and they've been very successful at that. There's literally dozens of companies that are sort of circling the NVIDIA camp. And then, you know, in September, the fall, they announced their Fermi architecture, which looks like it's going to basically bring vector computing into the commodity realm for the HPC market. And that's going to be a very interesting thing to watch in 2010. I think they've sort of drawn the line in the sand, and at the same time, they've sort of made it very hard or impossible for these other accelerators to get any traction. So we saw, and we just mentioned ClearSpeed's FP accelerator storyline just hit a brick wall. And then just recently, of course, Larrabee was, their commercial release was canceled. And then we saw the Cell HPC variant was scrapped by IBM. So it's like, as we see sort of GPU rise and we see these other accelerator wannabes sort of falling away. So I see that as a huge trend that occurred this year that was building from the previous 2 years, but it really asserted itself this year.
Well, yeah, you're certainly right that one thing NVIDIA has been very successful at is creating a complete ecosystem of development around their GPUs, and they had a great launch with Fermi. But CUDA continues to take off, and what I've been seeing is that this GPU computing phenomenon has really become the cool new thing for programmers to look at. Right. And because you can download the CUDA drivers and work with them right on your laptop, that NVIDIA's got a lot of momentum in that application development ecosystem, which has really taken off the fastest in the academic arena, but ultimately helps them play in the commercial applications that they really want to go for. The more applications they have, the more complete the ecosystem, the easier it is for them to go after those applications in the broader industry portion of the market.
Yeah, exactly. And you've just seen this year they've picked up more and more sort of these applications. Hardly a week goes by now where there's some user that it might not be a commercial deployment, but they're using NVIDIA or CUDA technology to underpin their application now, and it just all builds. It sort of feeds on itself, like you said. So they've definitely done a lot of work over the past couple of years, and I think it's all coming to fruition. I think the mistake other companies and users even made when they first looked at GPUs, they thought, well, this isn't quite what we need in HPC. It's got, you know, it doesn't have X, it doesn't have Y, and it doesn't have Z. But the mistake there was looking at it as sort of this static architecture and technology, where NVIDIA has actually moved it forward very rapidly in a direction that's much more favorable to their end game of having it be a general purpose computing platform. And they've done that. They've fulfilled that.
Well, one area that NVIDIA has yet to prove out is the GPU computing at scale for some of the largest systems. But even with that, they're starting to get some momentum with a few OEMs who are ready to build the GPUs into their more scalable systems, right?
Right, and that's what Fermi's about. That's what gives them GPU at scale. They've got the ECC memory in it. They've got a lot of double precision. They've got all these things that makes it much more attractive to be plugged into a larger system at scale. So Fermi's going to be the answer to that. We'll see how it plays out, but that's their play there. So 2010, I think, is going to be an interesting year for the GPU computing realm in this.
Well, I read your blog on the hits and misses for 2010, Michael, and it was an excellent blog, and I knew you had GPU on your list as a hit. I will disagree with you on one point on your GPU outlook, which is that I don't think it's completely killed off all other types of accelerators. You named several that have suffered, but we're still seeing some strength in FPGAs, and I don't see those going away just yet either.
Right, I didn't mention FPGAs as one it's killed off, because it hasn't. But comparatively at this point, there's sort of no contest between sort of the relative sizes of the mind share between those two. But yeah, FPGAs, you know, there's still the adherence, there's still work being done, serious work, right. And there's you know, a few deployments, and there's going to be some interesting things to look at in 2010 as well. So that'll be interesting to see, and that's a good point.
Well, you're right that GPU is dominant from a mindshare perspective, but some of the success of FPGA has been in reducing their mindshare because they're getting bundled into systems in an embedded fashion in a way that the user doesn't have to think about. So,
right.
Someone might buy it and not really think about the FPGA. That lack of mindshare is actually helping FPGA success.
Yeah, and I think it might play differently. I mean, FPGAs might turn out to be a success, but in a very different way than GPUs are, like you said, in sort of behind the scenes in an embedded fashion where where you don't really see it. It's just sort of these canned applications that get stuck into different systems.
Yep.
So from your analyst chair, I picked out my two stories of the year. What would you pick as the two most important trends of 2009?
Well, if we're going to start with a trend that's very measurable and had a dramatic swing in market share from the past, 2008, 2009, really accelerating through 2009, we're going to look at InfiniBand. Is not only dominating as a system interconnect now, but also starting to increase its presence in other areas of the environment, particularly in storage. And the more we survey end users, the more we see InfiniBand really with an established presence in HPC. I go back to something I said earlier in the year, that there used to be a joke that there's two kinds of networking, Ethernet and Ethernot, with the implication that it's Ethernet and the 100 dwarves in terms of, you know, what else there might be. InfiniBand has really changed that dynamic, turned it on its ear, where InfiniBand is now the go-to system interconnect for HPC. It's increasingly becoming a storage interconnect, not so much on the LAN yet. And then furthermore, the maturity in the InfiniBand space in HPC has helped lead to there being another silicon vendor, not just Mellanox, who's been going through a series of significant growth, but also QLogic coming into the InfiniBand silicon space. And we think that there's enough of a presence there now that that the market should support both vendors.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to bet against InfiniBand right now. It looks like it's, you know, it's growing by leaps and bounds. It's got two solid vendors behind it now pushing it. I see nothing but good news for it in the coming year and even beyond that. I mean, it's just, 10 gigabit Ethernet, you know, it's always a story. It's always going to be there. It's starting to make its way into the enterprise space, obviously, but I'm still not sure how it's going to work into the HPC market. I think it'll be there, but I don't think it'll be the player that maybe some thought it would be. I think InfiniBand is going to dominate the space for the foreseeable future as the interconnect.
Yeah, there are some sectors that still like Ethernet and are going to be riding that Ethernet train for a while. The pharmaceutical industry, financial industry are still predominantly on Ethernet and might continue there for another couple of years. So it's not like InfiniBand is going to run Ethernet entirely out of town.
Right.
But there is that significant momentum there. And I think the interesting thing to watch in 2010 is not going to be so much how much share can it continue to take from Ethernet or other proprietary vendors, but how the different vendors in the InfiniBand value chain start to divvy up that pie as the potential growth as a system interconnect starts to hit its asymptote. You get to where, you know, people aren't grabbing share from other people anymore. They're starting to look at each other. And, you know, you've got two vendors in the silicon space now. Meanwhile, Mellanox also said it's going to start doing switches. Voltaire has been in there swinging away is still going to be a significant force. And then you've got Sun. And their high-density InfiniBand switches, they're very scalable InfiniBand switches, and what's the role of that going to be with Oracle going
right
forward? So, you know, so it kind of comes back around on the top story. There's a lot to watch in the InfiniBand space as that growth flattens out.
Yeah, and your point about Sun, what's going to happen with their InfiniBand products? I would guess they're going to be folded into whatever Oracle has planned for their database machines. But they might end up selling them on the open market, but their switches aren't going to play big in the open market in any case. So, it's basically a three-way race with sort of Voltaire the odd man out since they don't have their own silicon. So it'll be an interesting year for Voltaire just to see how they manage to sort of navigate between sort of these two big InfiniBand ASIC vendors and how they're able to leverage that. So what was your second big trend of the year?
The other big trend of the year is one that didn't materialize fully yet, although there's a lot of of talk about it. So the other big trend that bears mentioning is cloud.
Yep.
And its role in HPC. And we'll emphasize again on this call that we don't see cloud as a standalone market. You know, people will ask, what's the size of the cloud market? I think that's a malformed question, that cloud joins grid and utility computing as access models for a way that someone might access resources, in this case, high-performance computing resources. And if you're using a web interface or a web-like intranet interface in order to access portion of your IT infrastructure or workflow, then you're doing something that's cloud, and we are starting to see some adoption here, but mostly we're hearing people talking about doing it. We are seeing its first incarnations of adoption, mostly in private clouds, which is how grid started, and we see cloud as an evolution of grid in terms of this is really the vision of what grid was meant to become. If you go back 10 years and look at some of the early grid planning meetings. So I think it's real. I think it is coming. I think it's not the panacea that everyone thought it was going, that the hype would lead you to believe it was going to be, but we will be seeing some real adoption in 2010, especially as it relates to people's ability to hopefully strive for greater productivity gains with limited investment dollars.
Yeah, I had cloud computing as a hit and miss on my hit or miss chart. So yeah, I sort of agree with you that it's sort of the beginning of the beginning for that technology. And when I was sort of researching this, I was trying to get sort of an adoption rate from different analysts, and it was all over the place. It was like, I think Forrester had it at 4%, IDC had it at 25%, and it's just such a nebulous space right now. It depends what you're trying to measure. There's so many aspects to it. So I don't think we have a real good handle on the use in the broader industry, and certainly in HPC, it's still quite limited. Although I think what I'm reading about and seeing mostly is sort of in the biosciences sector, the life sciences users that I think have been a little reticent to build up a lot of their own in-house infrastructure. They're looking at cloud very seriously, and they've already done some of the big pharma firms. Like Pfizer have been doing quite a bit, or at least experimentation with it. So I think that'll be maybe one of the first segments that we see a lot of cloud use in.
Yeah, you're right, and you're going to get varying opinions from a different analyst depending on how they define cloud. And
right.
if you do a survey on it, you've got to be very careful that you define it specifically when you ask the end user what they're doing, because the user is going to have a different definition of what they're doing. From a spending standpoint, we found 3% or so of end users' HPC budgets going to utility computing resources that come from outside. Now, that could be grid, it could be cloud, but the general sense of I'm spending money out of my HPC budget to get the resources somewhere else is still in those low single digits. Now, that's growth from zero, roughly, but is still low. Now, does that mean that's all the cloud penetration there is? Well, no, because a lot of people have internal clouds, private clouds, that aren't necessarily paid for out of an HPC budget in a measurable fashion that's going to show up on that kind of survey. And you're right that there are industries that are picking up cloud a little more quickly. I did some case studies in one industry where 6 out of the 7 companies I talked to were doing cloud at least in some form. 4 out of those 6 were exclusively private clouds, and the other 2 were hybrids that were both public and private. So there are indications that people are adopting cloud, but how you measure that is going to be a big question in 2010, and it's something that we're going to be putting a lot of our own work on.
Well, that's good to hear, because I definitely would be interested to see what the analysts are saying about this and how they're going to measure it, because I think it is something that we're going to see more of. And it's just going to be a matter of like asking the right questions to the right people and seeing how people are developing this delivery model.
Yeah, it becomes a question not only of definitions, but also what other tangential markets there are, application areas that get enabled by cloud. That was the gist of the piece that we wrote for the cloud supplement that ran through HPC Wire that I believe is still posted up there. You've got a whole supplement focused on cloud, and we contributed a piece there that specifically looks at what are those market opportunities that we'll be looking for in 2010, 2011 in a measurable fashion. Now, the big thing you got to look at with all of these stories, it's kind of the Uber trend for all four of the things we've mentioned, Michael, is the economy. You know, we didn't really call that out as a separate news story or a separate industry trend, but it's certainly shaped all of these things that we've been talking about. I mean, with cloud, you've got people trying to do what they can, maximize the use of internal resources in reduced capital budgets. It certainly was a driving force behind a lot of consolidation or companies going out of business. The economy is something that we've talked about on just about every other podcast throughout the year, although it's not an HPC story specifically.
Right. It definitely affected all the stories almost that we did this year, and yeah, your point about it sort of driving the economic consequences of all these trends is right on. I think, you know, all these trends were there. I mean, the commoditization and the competition that was going on in the server space and cloud computing and how that's playing, that was all coming about. I think what the economic downturn did was sort of accelerate that whole thing. It just sort of made the financial advantages and disadvantages much more clear. So things that might have not happened until the next decade actually started happening this year because of the recession. So it was the big story this year. It obviously affected the whole world and every industry, but it sort of stepped on the accelerator in HPC as far as all the trends that we had been tracking and looking at over the past few years.
Well, yeah, and HPC actually increased in relative importance in the technology landscape because it wasn't as dramatically affected as by the economy as other IT sectors. People still had a certain amount of money to spend. People still wanted to emphasize top line growth wherever they could, and those applications are tied to HPC. And when we're seeing certainly a slight contraction from 2008 into 2009, probably on the order of 10 or 12%. But a lot of that is due to lengthening sales cycles, that, you know, people are still spending the money. It just takes a little longer to get it. And we're seeing in some special cases some bursts of activity around the end of the year as people decide I'm going to spend this piece of budget that I've been holding on to after all for the end of the year. So although it was a down year for HPC, relative to the rest of the market, it's kind of like, well, the water level at the oasis is a little lower than it was last year, but it's still better than the surrounding desert, you know. And you look at some of the positive trends that we were pointing to, it shows that there are still areas of opportunity in HPC, that InfiniBand is showing growth, GPU computing is showing growth, storage is another area of relative opportunity, where there are a lot of big data applications out there, and parts of the storage ecosystem are quite healthy. And these aren't low-end, cheap portions of the market that are just competing on price and no other value. These are value-added areas of the market that are managing to flourish in this economy.
Yeah, those are all good points. And you're right. I mean, HPC market in general wasn't affected as badly as many industries. Although I'd hate to see it get any worse. I mean, basically we lost or saw consolidated almost a dozen companies just with sort of a slight downturn. Now everybody's sort of predicting better things ahead, but it did have a pretty big effect considering, you know, we probably just lost a few percent of the market. It didn't take much to sort of push a lot of these companies into the red and then off the cliff. So I think maybe that speaks to sort of how small the margins are for a lot of these vendors and sort of how fragile some of the businesses are. I mean, it's on the cutting edge, but that makes you a little more susceptible than say in some other industries which tend to be more mainstream markets. So okay, well, so before we talk too much about the 2010 of the look ahead, because we're going to do that on our first show next year, This is actually our last show of the year. Our next show will be in a couple of weeks after our holiday break, and then we will take a little deeper look at the year ahead, starting in 2010. So we've got to get ready for that, but we've got to rest up to make sure we can do that. So this is our break and our last show. So I hope everybody enjoyed it, and thanks for our subscribers and listeners for the Soundbite podcast this year. It was a lot of fun, Addison. It was great having you do all these shows with us, and we'll pick it up again next year.
Thanks, Michael. I've been really enjoying doing these, and I wish you a Merry Christmas and a wonderful break. I'll also thank Isaac Lopez, our producer, for the excellent job he's been doing on this all year long. So thanks to Isaac as well. It's been definitely a very interesting year. This is something my colleague Chris Willard says is that it was one of his ancient cybernetic curses, is may you live in interesting times.
Exactly.
That's certainly the dynamic we had in 2009. It was interesting time. So maybe 2010 will get more profitable and less interesting.
Well, I have a feeling it will be at least as interesting as this year, but we're definitely going to be there, and we'll look ahead, and we'll see everybody then.
And thanks a lot, Michael.
Thank you, Addison. Merry Christmas, Addison.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.